Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
All right, folks, we ready? I think we're in. I'm going to jump it by like 30 seconds because we're going to need it. Awesome. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would bless your flock, that you would feed your sheep, that you would speak through me with wisdom and care, and we commit this time to you, all for your glory, Jesus. We thank you for your word. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to On Trending Modern Philosophies, a survey, the plague of isms, dangerous trending world philosophies, and where they intersect the church. Before I announce today's topic, how's everybody doing, by the way?
Good.
Good. Excellent. We're going to have fun today. Quick review. I want to clarify from last week, I was explaining the false doctrine in the philosophy of pantheism, that false doctrine that conservation is our purpose as humans. And I said this, what about the concept or principle of conservation stewardship? Also not in the Bible. That's what I said. Now, to be sure, the Bible teaches dominion, ownership, and use, which is a stewardship of sorts. So I must clarify that the principle of stewardship is there, but under the doctrines of ownership and use, not conservation. That was the point I was trying to make. Furthermore, I wasn't teaching littering or damaging the earth. I certainly didn't come anywhere near to implying waste. If you like your tree, keep it up for you. When I say burn, baby, burn, regarding the tree, it's intended as shock treatment. Trees are meant for use, like everything else on the planet. That was my point, not enjoying destruction. Let me read this as we move forward as a word of advice to all of you when you listen to me. 2 Peter 3:15, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Please avoid, listen, misinterpreting me. That would be the advice. All right, here we go. You ready? Today's topic is called holistic Gnosticism, or the secret pseudoscience of natural health, or nutritionism, or the art of the snake oil salesman. Introduction. We might call this nutritionism or healthism or wellness, but those aren't entirely sufficient. Holistic means this, interconnectivity between mind, body, spirit, and nature. Gnosticism is a secret or hidden knowledge special to the elite. Here's the definition of holistic Gnosticism. Hidden knowledge of self-improvement and self-preservation achieved by allegedly natural elements and primitive applications. More specifically, presumption that such natural elements are superior to engineered elements, that is, engineered by man, and a skepticism and rejection of biblical science in favor of pseudoscience that includes, but is not limited to, folk tradition, homeopathy, organic sources, alternative medicine, spiritualism, subjective experience, pantheism, asceticism, and arbitrary dietary restrictions. Even more simply stated, exclusive health habits for the intention of prolonged fullness of living, a kind of health worship. It employs legalistic rules on food consumption and lifestyle with an active phobia of all things labeled unhealthy or unnatural by social consensus. It includes an active suspicion of supposedly greedy, malicious forces that threaten life and limb through the food and medical industry. It is a form of pantheism or earth worship. It is also linked to multiculturalism, glorifying non-Western, non-Christian customs. It is linked to humanism, mistrust and loathing of property rights and capitalism. It is thoroughly and strategically directed at women. Please note, when I bring up holistic Gnosticism or nutritionism as a pagan philosophy, please don't come to me with a million stats and facts and articles and stories. You will definitely outfact me. It's the inherent philosophy and anti-Bible presumptions that present the danger that I'm going to be addressing. Of all the topics, this will likely receive the greatest response of pushback, heated anger, I hope not, and protest, and the hottest anger reserved for me likely will come from the women in the room. It is not the intention to arouse that, so please be mindful of your heart. Be wary of inconsistency on your part, having agreed with me in previous weeks, yet now feeling inclined not to. Let me give you the biblical warning. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. Isn't that interesting? Which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Biblical solution, 1 Timothy 4, 6 to 12, continuing the same passage. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things, holding promise both for the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things, Timothy. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Sound doctrinal preaching from faithful pastors and a rejection of myths and old wives' tales is the solution to holistic Gnosticism. See how Paul states this similarly in Colossians. Being built up in true teaching, he says, in order to ward off deception. Colossians 2. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now listen to this. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. I humbly suggest that holistic Gnosticism is one of these hollow and deceptive philosophies built on human tradition and elementary principles that indeed has taken many in the church captive, especially our women. Doctrinal error. Here we go. You ready? Doctrinal error. Please note, holistic Gnosticism is built on pantheism and the false pantheistic doctrines that we already looked at, which includes the following two. Remember, these are false statements: that nature is not under a curse. Or otherwise stated, nature and natural things are necessarily good. False doctrine. Number two, man's activity harms the planet, or rather, his dominion is necessarily bad. False doctrine. On the other hand, the Bible teaches this, by way of review. Nature is fallen, it is cursed, it is full of thorns, toxins, and pestilence. And number two, man's applications of creative work improves nature. Now the next step, holistic Gnosticism is built upon another faulty, unbiblical premise. Number one, that there are things in creation that are natural versus unnatural. That's doctrinal error. Said another way, that there's a difference between organic and non-organic. That there's a difference between organic and processed. Processed being something produced by man. This is incorrect, and it is a kind of dualistic view of creation, as though some parts of creation are innately noble compared to other parts, when in fact, none of it is noble. All of creation, listen, is alike in its singular subjection to God and its unified corruption. Rather, the correct view is that all things created are natural, and all of creation is fallen, and the distinction is not between two different aspects of the creation, the natural pure and the unnatural profane, but rather between creator and created, between God, who is holy and pure, and that which he made, nature and all it contains. Psalm 24:1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." Colossians 1 says this, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Isaiah 54, check out this verse, this is cool. "Behold," God says, "I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose." God made it all. "I have also created the ravager to destroy." Everything is made by God and for God. And so everything, listen now, in the earth is thus natural and organic, and likewise corrupt. Qualifying something separately as organic doesn't make it better or unique. It is a fallacious qualification indeed, because it presumes that there must be things which are not organic, which is untrue. Organic is bogus. It is a scam and a sham. Does not the very nature of things teach us this? Let's compare these. The bird's nest, the beaver's dam, a man's house, and our infamous steel stacks of Stroudsburg that I talked about last week. Those are all organic. Or a monkey picking a coconut off a tree and cracking it open. A mother bird spitting food into her baby's mouth. Man cutting up a cow and cooking the steak. Harvesting corn and making Doritos. Sugar cereal made from white flour. Or high fructose corn syrup also made from corn. All organic. Natural. On the one hand, a bird or animal manipulated to make it. On the other hand, man did. And to denigrate that which man has made compared to the bird or monkey arbitrarily denigrates the image bearer below the rest of the environment, which is an assault on God himself. God is over all. It is his creation. Everything is naturally made by him, from dirt to vegetables to steel to chemicals to pesticide to corn byproducts. Do not surrender his position as the maker and creator to the less suitable false god of natural purity. In fact, most would agree that a lot of the stuff man touches is for the better. And you all mostly live that way. Filtered water, right? It's better. Fat-free yogurt. Tick and flea control for your dog. What insecticide is for pets, pesticides is for plants. Go chemicals. So we don't have fleas in our house. And my favorite, pasteurized milk. Man manipulated, yes. It gets rid of bacteria that causes disease like tuberculosis. Who wants to drink unpasteurized milk? Are probiotics more natural and healthy than antibiotics? No, in fact, they're both natural and valuable. Number two doctrinal error, that this present life is what we are living for. Therefore, people say death, but more they think or live, that death, but more importantly, illness, are to be feared and avoided, as though the curse is somehow avoidable, as though we can thwart God to live longer. Excuse the voice crack. Believing that the object of living is to stay alive and healthy and ward off cancer, tribulation, and calamity is a decidedly humanist perspective built on no hope of the afterlife. And also presumed is the erroneous idea that man can control his length of days, particularly by health habits. But what does the Bible teach about the day of our death, that God alone has determined it? Matthew 6:27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And to the one storing up grain and goods in the parable in Luke 12, God said, fool, this night your soul is acquired of you. The reason people rush to trendy nutrition philosophy is the same reason socialism and nationalized healthcare are so popular. The false promise of warding off calamity, a false assurance of security in this world and extending life. Number three doctrinal error. You guys with me?
Yep.
Health and wellness are primary for the Christian. No, doctrinal error. Wellness, they say, is of the utmost importance. Physical health is our priority. You've got to take care of your body first. But that is not what the Bible teaches. 1 Timothy 4, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It doesn't say bodily training is of great value or even equal value. It says some. And the NASB actually says bodily discipline is only of little profit. And so the point is that physical wellness has minimal value compared to spiritual health in the gospel. To allow for anything more turns physical health into an idol, a dangerous epidemic we now see so vividly in the culture and unfortunately with growing influence within the church. Along with this, we see body and appearance obsession. Just look at the culture, self-absorption, addiction to fitness, exercise, dietary models and plans and restrictions, vain infatuation with figure and physique and appearance. Number four doctrinal error, that subjective experience is equal or superior to biblical truth. Subjective experience. One of the most immediate arguments in defense of holistic Gnosticism, or the secret world of the nutrition craze, is that, well, quote, I made these changes to my diet and I feel so much better. Or this person changed their diet and boom, cured, disease gone. Or I bought this health product, these essential oils, and I have so much more energy. Now, while these accounts may or may not be exactly accurate, nonetheless, subjective experience is not how a Christian is to ever determine right thinking or right behavior. This is a problem of epistemology in the church, knowing what is true, and it has shifted from objective revelation of the Bible to subjective experience and a person's own perspective. This is the same problem of the charismatic movement, and it's very hard to argue with someone's experience. In their minds, their experience makes them immune to criticism and correction. But the reality is, we can convince ourselves of many things and many experiences that aren't real at all if we want to believe it hard enough. And in my class on Pentecostalism, I made the argument that much of what they experience in that movement is in fact, not authentic, but instead conjecture and imaginations, honest and sincere as it may be. I would argue the same here. that many of the claims we see in the holistic movement are just that, nothing more than conjecture and imaginations based upon experience and an overwhelming impulse to prove a desired outcome. These health narratives are also often not taking into account normal cause and effect, such as the natural effect of medication and treatment on healing someone from something like cancer rather than their diet. Or number two, the immediate side effects of removing things from your diet like wheat or sugar for a sustained period and then putting it back. You'll obviously react violently. It doesn't mean you have an allergy. It just means you haven't eaten that substance for a while. It's like vegetarians going back to meat. It's normal to have a reaction. Doesn't mean the meat's bad or that nitrates are bad. Unfortunately, people cling to their experience of improved health or better lifestyle or feelings of greater vigor and inner peace. They marry, listen, their nutrition obsession and health system to their truth claims about Christianity, oftentimes with grossly misguided Bible interpretation wrought by charlatan Bible teachers and nutrition gurus who damage the text and manipulate verses for the purpose of persuading an audience, making a profit, creating a following. And for these Christians caught up in the experience of nutrition, renouncing the lifestyle and absorption into the health movement would be in their minds on the level of renouncing their Christian faith itself. So much have they tied the two together. And this is due not only to bad Bible interpretation and the never-ending deluge of so-called facts and evidence they've been fed, but more so because of their personal experience. Number five, doctrinal error. That pseudoscience is equal or superior to the scientific method. According to Oxford, pseudoscience is a, quote, collection of beliefs or practices mistakenly regarded as being based on the scientific method. One of the biggest problems is that holistic methods are not grounded in science, and science is grounded in the Bible. The Bible upholds science, which is observation and reason. It does not uphold pseudoscience, which is non-reason and manipulation based upon things like superstition, conjecture, intuition, mysticism, pagan traditionals and rituals, and again, subjective experience or feeling. The Bible upholds science because science is predicated on the premise of created design. Christians invented science. That the universe was wrought by a rational, intellectual creator God with fixed order. And biblical faith is an intellectual faith, whereas all the other religions of the world are irrational and superstitious. Isaiah 1, come now, let us reason together. 1 Corinthians 14, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And Jeremiah 10, thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the nations, nor be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, because the nations are dismayed. The customs of the peoples are vanity. A tree from the forest is cut down and worked with an axe by the hands of a craftsman. In all their kingdoms, among all the wise men, there is none like you. They are both stupid and foolish. The instruction of idols is wood. It is he, God, who established the world by wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. Holistic Gnosticism is predicated on the idea that there are plausible systems and functions, including health remedies and treatments and approaches, that operate outside of physical natural law, outside of observable design, systems that are hidden and unobservable to the rational man, that have a mystical interconnectivity with the universe. That's not biblical. That's not Christian. All this makes the holistic person susceptible to every sort of charlatan who walks by with a quote-unquote new elixir that promises an alternative to proven science. Number six, false doctrine, that asceticism is biblical. Asceticism is strict self-denial, abstaining from any self-indulgence. This tenet is fundamental to holistic Gnosticism, with its severe and legalistic food restrictions, and yet it is diametrically opposed to the teachings of Scripture. Holistic Gnosticism teaches that personal utopia and maximum usefulness and spiritual wellness is achieved through rigorous dietary controls and lifestyle regulations. But this is all a form of, listen, church, I love you, rank legalism. And the Bible condemns it. See Colossians 2, where Paul laments, literally laments, all these rules, paralyzing, man-made, earthly rules, built on nothing more than earthly philosophy, and exhorts the Colossians to stop it, Colossians 2. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. And then he goes on in Colossians 2, verse 20. Listen, this is amazing. Since you died with Christ to the elementary spiritual forces, let me repeat that. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle. Do not taste. Do not touch. It's amazing. These rules which have to do, these rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship and their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. The reason I exclaimed it's amazing, because it's amazing that God's word speaks to all things. This dietary asceticism proceeds from secret knowledge, superstitious conjecture, and conspiracy theories, what essentially amounts to a modern, civilized, sophisticated Gnosticism. Here's some examples. Any food you ingest necessarily affects your whole health more than all other factors. All physical ailments are the result of bad, unnatural, artificial, processed food ingestion. Nutritional corruption is the result of evil chemicals and man altering the form of food. Oh, and also, by the way, nutritional corruption is the result of global warming and greedy capitalism in the food industry, forcing us to eat supposedly evil things like caged chickens with growth hormones. All this Gnostic thinking leads to other strange behaviors of self-abasement. Things beyond dietary restrictions, like the ever-popular colon cleanse or the stomach cleanse. Such self-inflicted physical abuse against the body is certainly not characteristic of a reasonable Christianity at all, and has much more in common with pagan practice. Christian worship is rational, whereas pagan behavior is irrational and bizarre. The Bible teaches us to the contrary, that knowledge and diet, though man in his flesh is often drawn to such external appearances and trappings of religiosity, knowledge and diet, they are not the measure of maturity. 1 Corinthians 8. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge, right? That's Gnosticism. We got this knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Food, he says, will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Another false doctrine: that skepticism is a legitimate epistemology. Skepticism is legitimate epistemology. The other name for this is conspiracy theory or conspiratorialism. And this is central to the holistic Gnostic philosophy, because this philosophy is built on the idea of suspicion that greater powers and forces are secretly working to corrupt man through greed, exploitation, toxins. And so those who have been enlightened are able to ward off these otherwise veiled threats and preserve life and limb against the powers that be, powers that are plotting and poisoning us through tortilla chips, MSG, GMOs, and vaccines and antibiotics. This begs the question of whether or not conspiratorialism, or more generally termed skepticism, is even a legitimate system of epistemology or a way of knowing truth for the Christian, according to the Word of God. And I don't mean Berean skepticism, testing everything against God's Word. I mean an irrational skepticism of anything traditional or mainstream, living in fear of the present and questioning it. Do we hold Christians to a rational epistemology? Or do we chase intriguing trails of suspicion and myths and pursue a course of mistrust, skeptical of reality? This is most assuredly where you get other strange trends like flat earth and 9/11 truthers, which is in the same philosophical camp as the holistic movement. Is there mass confusion for us, I ask? And is there irregularity in awareness and an inability to know what is and what happened? I would argue not at all. The Bible teaches the availability of truth, the certainty of righteous deeds, and the transparency of wicked men and their work. 1 Timothy 5, the sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. 2 Timothy 3, they, the false teachers, are men of depraved minds, who as far as the faith is concerned are rejected. But they will not get very far because, listen, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. The Bible certainly does not teach a hidden and suspicious epistemology, but rather a clear and perspicuous and rational one. Proverbs 1, wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets she raises her voice, at the head of the noisy street she cries out, at the entrance of the city gate she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Conspiracy theory, which is a hallmark trait of holistic Gnosticism, specifically that the doctors, the insurance companies, the pharmaceuticals, the government, the corporate food industry, capitalist forces are all conspiring together in one massive hidden scandal to poison humanity and pollute the earth, is just not consistent with a biblical epistemology. It is not consistent with biblical reason or with biblical philosophy. Truth, listen, is not that secret and unavailable, nor is deceptive work that hidden and confusing. Truth and error, Goodness and wickedness are entirely more obvious, clear, lucid, both through the biblical accounts and observation of the orderly, reasonable universe that God has created. You with me?
Yeah.
All right. Number eight, doctrinal error. Holistic health is achievable for all. Stringent nutrition and health habits are a feasible lifestyle for all people. But in fact, nutrition and health has become a status symbol and is certainly not available to all because it is notably very expensive to live this way. Health obsession is only a luxury of wealthy cultures like ours. So I ask logically, how can it be presented as such an essential element of wise living when it's not at all reasonably attainable for poor people living in desolate communities and nations elsewhere? It's a fad of wealth through and through. It is a prerogative only to those with the capacity and resources to be picky about what kinds of grains or peanut butter they have in their house. Not so for the rest of humanity, now or throughout history. The price of nutrition items speaks for itself. Organic milk compared to regular. It's all so much more expensive. Or how about the debate over vaccines and their side effects? Now, I'm not taking a side. I'm just saying it's only possible to have that debate where most diseases have already been all but wiped out by our medical advancements and prolific wealth. In poor countries where there are outbreaks of epidemics like polio, blinding, maiming, and killing babies, they don't have the luxury of weighing supposedly evil secondary health risks because their kids' very lives are at stake. It is only an obsession of luxury. Number nine, false presumption, that certain men are righteous. There is an underlying presumption that the experts of nutrition, professionals, those wearing lab coats or writing in journals, they are all righteous, with perfect integrity, perfect data, perfect conclusions, never manipulative, unbiased, especially if they claim Christ, never greedy, never seeking to make a buck. But what does the Bible teach? Total depravity. That all men are wicked and not to be trusted. Just because a fancy suit or an acronym like PhD, MD, EDD, DD, or PHMED, I made that one up, says something with the claim Christian does not make it true or factual, doesn't make it genuine without deceit, doesn't make it impartial or even Christian. Listen and be warned, Christianity is a huge market in free, culturally religious America. And a fool or worse, a demon, can slap Christian on absolute trash to make it sell better and make a profit. We have a name for these, snake oil salesmen. And they're very popular, charismatic, smart, with a huge following and big wallets. The Bible warns against such false teachers who appear super spiritual and knowledgeable. Colossians 2. That book, I've been going back to that chapter this whole time. It's a great chapter. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail, right, about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. These health gurus are preying on our women. They are coming in and courting our women, and we let them. And before you know it, entire households are swept up in the movement, and doesn't the Bible warn us this way? 2 Timothy 3, they, false teachers, are the kind, listen, who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Who then, we ask, do we trust? Love this. Our local pastors in the local church, those among you who are tested and proven, not Christian podcasts, not nutrition journals and periodicals, so-called Christian experts. 2 Timothy 3, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it. Listen, gullibility is not biblical. That is not thinking with a spiritual mind, and Paul even warns his church in Colossians 2, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Number 10, false doctrine. The Bible teaches nutrition. This one gets me. The Bible, people say, suggests a diet plan or can be interpreted for nutritional purposes. Examples would be the Ezekiel diet or the Daniel fast or Old Testament law. And the problem here is that this is awful Bible interpretation. It's bad Bible through and through. Ezekiel 4 is not a diet plan, nor is it a bread recipe. It was illustrating a curse on Israel so that he was even instructed to cook the very bread that we're talking about on human dung. Are we supposed to do that too? This is ridiculous damage to the text. Daniel 1 is certainly not instruction on how to eat healthy. That misses entirely the point of the story. The diet that Daniel and his friends ate was inferior. and yet they remained healthy despite its lack of nutritional value. That was the miracle that showed God's power. Imitating a Daniel fast is bad Bible application. The Bible doesn't directly teach nutrition, regardless of what professional so-called experts may be telling you. But, listen to this, if you were to make a case for any dietary principles that the Bible may teach, then it really is only one principle that actually contradicts and defies the entire holistic movement. Because the only thing that you might say that the Bible teaches about food is this one thing only. Listen, the accessibility of all foods. If anything, the diet plan of Scripture is eat it all. 1 Timothy 4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God in prayer. Christians are commanded to live with gospel-mindedness, not with concern over frivolous earthly distractions, fixated on food content, burdened by suspicion and mistrust over food. How trivial and empty. Doesn't Paul teach against this in 1 Corinthians 10? Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, he says, without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you're disposed to go, go and eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. Acts 10:13. And there came a voice to him, Peter, rise, kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again a second time, what God has made clean, do not call common. Colossians 2, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. That's the only biblical principle on food, if you can find one. Number 11, association with the world, they say, doesn't matter. That's another doctrinal error of holistic Gnosticism. Association with the world doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the roots or origin of some movement are, meaning what world religions or philosophies or civilizations or cults or deviant denominations pioneered these practices or followed the same manner of thinking and behavior. Also, the observable fruit of the philosophy and the lifestyle doesn't matter. But in fact, origin matters. Association matters. Where something came from matters. Its fruit matters. And syncretism, mixing together elements from other religions, is a profane thing before the Lord. Zephaniah 1, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off from this place the remnant of Baal and the name of the idolatrous priests along with the priests, those who bow down on the roofs to the hosts of heaven. So they're bowing to heaven. Those who bow down and swear to the Lord, and yet they swear by Milcom. Mixing of pagan elements. Elements of pagan cults and mysticism is prohibited for the people of God. See Leviticus, Galatians, and Revelation. Well, what are some of the associations? What are some of the associations with the holistic movement? Pantheism, Eastern cult religions like Buddhism and Hinduism, traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, very popular. Native American tradition, Pentecostalism, Christian Science, Mormonism, New Age, socialism, environmentalism, and multiculturalism. It's not in a good family. And if something is popular with the world, as nutritionism has become a cultural craze, it's a clear indicator that it is an earthly influence or trend, since it is so appealing to the carnal man. People are going nuts for this. All right, number 12, last doctrinal error. Medical workers shouldn't get paid. You're like, what? Yeah, it's a doctrinal error of this movement. For some reason, we suspend the notion of private property when it comes to doctors, drug companies, insurance companies, hospitals, as though the medical industry should not turn a profit. People cry, not fair, corrupt, as though all health care ought to be charitable, and as if the nutritionist and the holistic folks aren't themselves charging exorbitant rates and locking people into endless visits to their offices. Give me a break. But in fact, the Bible teaches this. The worker deserves his wages. 1 Timothy 5:18. Pay people their due, period. All right, the deadly presumption of holistic Gnosticism is this. You are what you eat. That's not true. Evil corporations. That's the other presumption. Even though the entire health and nutrition industry itself is made up of corporations making bank, making massive profit. Much like the green enviro movement, it's just as corporatist and capitalist and profit-driven as any other industry. Can I give you some examples? Let me say clearly that in citing some examples right now, I am not saying that these things are bad or wrong, nor am I condemning them. I'm simply illustrating where we see pieces of the philosophy in the culture so that we are able to identify it and be wary of invading foreign ideas. If you don't know where to look, then this discussion becomes a pointless endeavor because I'm not helping you discern. But again, I am not condemning the examples given. It is all given just by way of illustration. Please listen and clarification. No one should walk out of here, please, feeling singled out, accused, attacked, berated, insulted. That's not what this is here in giving examples. This is instruction on cultural trends so we can maintain a discerning faith and pure lifestyle. That's all. Is that cool? All right, no stones. The myths, here's the first example, the myths of the health craze, the reckless and unfounded demonization and paranoia of allegedly bad nutrition culprits, processed food, chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, insecticides, growth hormones, MSG, GMOs, gluten, trans fat, red meat, nitrates, preservatives, artificial flavors, antibiotics, food coloring, etc. The list continues. Number two example, the opposite myths of the health craze. The reckless and unfounded glorification and obsession with supposedly good nutrition miracle foods, organic versus non-organic, gluten-free, non-GMO, free-range and cage-free chicken and other livestock versus caged, local market fresh, grass-fed, all-natural, farm-fresh, wild salmon versus farm-raised. So much of all of this is nothing more than marketing and philosophy and much less about science, genuine health, or actual differences with any consequential effect. Fair trade food, they talk about that, just means food that's processed under socialist policy, living or minimum wage, unionized workers, environmental policy, sustainability. Another example, trendy dietary habits and health supplements, kombucha juice, probiotics, detox, everybody's got to have a juicer, alternative cleansing products, paleo diet, the paleo diet is built on a faulty premise of a supposed paleolithic era that as Christians we reject outright because that's evolutionary theory. There was no paleolithic era, there's no paleo diet. Folks, this stuff is just a fad, that's all. It's not built on anything else, and yet it consumes people's lives. LaCroix sparkling water doesn't use castoreum. I like LaCroix, by the way. It just tastes good and it's cheap. LaCroix sparkling water doesn't use castoreum, which is an evil additive. Did you know that? Used in a lot of foods like ice cream and vanilla substitute. But you know it's an extraction from the beaver anal gland. And why is it, I'm being serious here, why is it that when Native Americans use every part of the animal, we swoon and we sing the praises of their oneness with nature? But when capitalists figure out a million and one uses for a beaver secretion, oh, it's a contaminant, unhealthy, unnatural. Like, give me a break. We figured out great use of beaver anal gland excretion. Awesome. Use it. Sell it. Make an industry. All right, another example. Trix removes artificial flavors. You know what they did? Put them back. We all went boo. They came back in October last month. Yay. Number six, multi-level marketing companies, which are essentially pyramid schemes for making money under the guise and pretense of vital healthy alternatives. Companies that grow by accumulating paying participants. Juice Plus is a big one. Melaleuca, essential oils are other prime examples. By the way, essential oils have got to be the leading example of the snake oil salesman. Oils that can even make your kid behave properly. Did you know that? Do you know how many... Wait, essential oil companies, listen, are billion-dollar companies run by Mormons with no training in any type of medicine at all. Blake Roney of New Skin Enterprises, business degree, they all have business degrees. David Sterling of doTERRA, all Mormons, business degrees. Donald Gary Young of Young Living, I don't think he got a degree in anything, and he got in trouble with the law. Frank Vandersloot of Melaleuca, Mormon, business degree. Okay, next thing we see, sharp increase in alleged allergies to normal things like wheat or gluten or sugar. Another example, demonizing doctors, the medical industry, they all have ulterior motives and don't have genuine, authentic concern for people's health like the holistic healers do. AMA, right, American Medical Association, evil. Big Pharma. Hey, my response to Big Pharma, what about Big Organic? Are we kidding? Aberrant behavior. Do you know Alicia Silverstone birds her son to feed him? It's called birding. She puts the food in her mouth, chews it up, and spits it into her son's mouth as an infant. Yeah, right, that's where holistic Gnosticism goes. Wild statements like sugar is evil. Guys, see all the verses in the Bible on honey and sweetness. Exodus 3, Isaiah, Nehemiah, elsewhere. Becoming a germaphobe. Here's another example. Becoming one with yourself, one with nature, meditation, inner peace, power of positive thinking, positive speech and affirmation statements for physical healing. herbal remedies, home remedies, homeopathy as an alternative to allopathy, phrases like heal your stomach. And then, of course, the influence of Eastern pagan practices and other cults. Let me repeat, I'm not saying this is bad, but just that it requires caution. So it's helpful knowing the history. Yoga, the roots are Hinduism from India, uses meditation to empty the mind and also to develop self-awareness and find divinity within oneself. The goal is liberation from karma, and God is everything. Acupuncture, the roots are traditional Chinese medicine. It teaches that the qi is our vital force flowing through channels, which the acupuncture fixes. And health means correcting the flow, bringing balance of the internal with the universe. Chiropractic, the founder is the mesmerist and spiritualist D.D. Palmer, who was a student of metaphysics, who rejected Christianity and taught the innate intelligence, which that word is still used in chiropractic if you pay attention. The innate intelligence that flows through the universe and us. Displacement impedes the flow, adjustment restores it. It teaches internal divinity, oneness with the universe, and meditation. And also, this last example, the dietitian versus the nutritionist. The former, dietitian, requires a degree, accreditation, regulation. The latter, nutritionist, none of the above. You can be a self-proclaimed nutritionist. All right, we are just about done here. I got about just a few minutes. You ready for the... effects and solution. This is fast. You guys with me?
Yeah.
The effects. Number one, the diluting of true spirituality. Christianity and its subsequent doctrines, including science, are wholly incompatible with a holistic philosophy, also with transcendentalism and Gnosticism, all of which elevate experience and secret insight above objective truth. It is a confusing testimony of the world when you mix pagan philosophy with biblical truth. A lot of this was imported in the 60s hippie movement as an alternative to traditional Christianity and Western civilization and science. It is wholly antagonistic to Christianity and Western culture in order to deconstruct and replace it. This philosophy carries debilitating and paralyzing doctrines and habits, like asceticism, that do not bear the fruit of Christian living nor productivity for the gospel. Effect number two, a veiled idolatry. This idolatry of health is emphatically denied in words by so many Christians, but most assuredly it's seen in their practice. There are observable vain obsessions in their lives that bring a false sense of security and contrived wellness. Number three, rampant selfishness. There is a sense of entitlement to good health. The health obsessions are all self-directed and self-serving, even at the expense of others, which leads to number four, disunity in the church. Modifications for the majority on behalf of the one or the few who demand accommodations under the pretense of quite peculiar yet quite spurious health needs. Number five, this one's big. Are you listening? I love you. You guys know that. I love you. I won't tell you how much time I take to work on this stuff and get it right. I'll leave it there. I'm going to start talking like Paul. I love you guys, but please listen. Unmanageable women. We are seeing a loss of the Proverbs 31 character, who is a rugged woman of self-sacrifice with low needs in favor of this high-maintenance 21st century health-conscious woman. Health obsession is a selfish, demanding, debilitating lifestyle fetish that fosters excessive neediness, which is then imposed on the entire family. It fosters irrational sensitivity to the minutia of health preferences and then nagging when things aren't just so. And it is an expensive lifestyle. There is a hardiness to femininity that has been lost in this culture of health infatuation. Can I celebrate women for a second time in this class? The strong woman, on the other hand, is not a burden, doesn't look for accommodations from others to meet peculiar health needs, isn't self-absorbed with her physique and wellness, she isn't coveting the perfect Instagram posts of healthy choices, her time isn't distracted with elaborate health schemes. She just puts her head down and serves relentlessly and accepts what comes her way. And she eats whatever is on the table, if she even has time to eat it at all, GMOs or not, organic or not, because she is bent on self-sacrifice, spending herself for others, real gospel living. I am telling you, it's making our young women unmarriable. If people are wondering, is this really a big deal? I first realized the problem years back on a youth camping retreat when it was dinner time and all of a sudden a handful of very nice high school girls were just like, yep, no sorry. Yep, no sorry. Can't eat pizza. Nope, can't. Body can't handle it. And I was like, oh boy, we've got a problem. Our girls can't even function in everyday situations because otherwise perfectly normal, healthy young women have been convinced and conditioned to think, or at least permitted to think, that they've got some major dietary health problems or allergies. And I can't counsel men to marry them in this condition. Not that I'm telling men not to marry our girls, but a basic question I generally ask now when a guy wants counsel is, hey, how is she on the nutrition thing? She buying into all that claptrap mumbo jumbo? Does she have strange eating habits? Because if so, it's gonna torture you later and really impede spiritual progress. You'll be trying to get a burger or a sausage in the Corinthian meat market with your son, and she's gonna slap that thing right out of your hand, and she's gonna be massively controlling, and it's gonna be emasculating. So find one that's just not so high maintenance. Women, we've got to woman up on this. I say that in cheerful love. We're just about done. The solution. Here we go. Preach sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:9, 4:11. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth. Set for the believers an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, exhortation, teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that they all may see your progress and keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. We've got to have a biblical epistemology. So, preach a biblical philosophy of nature, that it's fallen, and that man's dominion is not evil nor corruptive. I'm giving you things we got to preach, okay? Preach the superiority of man's creative applications to a pagan naturalist approach. Preach the biblical doctrine of Christian liberty, particularly the freedom to eat, in order to release people from the bondage of dietary restrictions and harsh self-inflicted health habits. All things are given by God and good to eat. Preach a correct anthropology, that all men are wicked and the proven ones can be trusted. Those are the Christian faith and observable Christian practice and fruit. For instance, the pastors in your local church. Preach a biblical femininity. Women and wives are to be more concerned with the welfare of others, not absorbed in their own welfare. Preach self-sacrifice, caring for others, serving others is superior to vain pursuits like wellness. Preach a biblical epistemology, objective truth grounded in Scripture, under which falls proven scientific methods. Preach the preeminence of the gospel, the priority of life. Use luxury for charity rather than to serve self. We read books about healing our stomach and health fads. But when is the last time, dear church, that you were absorbed in the minor prophets? And how much do we even know about the minor prophets? Can we name any of the minor prophets? And men, solution, lead with grace, wisdom, and principle. Do not allow family members to succumb to nutrition temptations. Run a tight ship, man. Shepherd them. I want to empower men to go home and liberate their women, their wives and daughters, from this nonsense and these old wives' tales. Go home and quit buying this garbage at the grocery store, unless it's on sale. It's pure marketing. And where it's more than that, it's sinister, deceptive philosophy. Why do we let our women listen to these charlatans? Most of the time, the guy's default mode is, I'll eat whatever. But in the meantime, this pervasive earthly doctrine is overtaking the home without your notice. We are looking for lifestyle changes, throwing this junk out, making mature steps. But what about contaminants? Men, teach your family to rub some dirt on it and move on. And the last thing is encourage wise living. Is your Christianity merely to avoid sin? That's shallow and legalistic. We are called a wise living, heartfelt, sincere, productive gospel living. This isn't about being the sin police on food. Actually, it's liberating. I'm teaching wise living. How can we be most effective for Jesus? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. But before I do that, I have one little joke for you. Are you ready? And then we'll pray, because you're going to scatter after I pray. This is, my reputation precedes me at work. I may or may not have some bumper stickers about this topic. So one of my buddies left this on my desk. Please nobody freak out, but I could not wait to show you. All right? No panic attacks. I'm kidding. This is a bag from an Asian grocery store of fried, round gluten. Who eats that? I mean, I'm fine with eating everything, but who eats a bag? Don't you think this is funny? Fried, round gluten. So, yeah, I haven't opened it yet. I wanted to save it for you. So if you want to try some gluten, it's just pure fried gluten. See, Andrew's going to have some of it. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the cheerfulness of the church, their willingness and their humility, and also bringing humility to me as well in my heart on these sensitive issues and bringing us all under the scrutiny of the Bible. That's all we want to do. Lord, we thank you for the liberation of the gospel that has set us free from from deceptive human philosophy, from pagan ritual, dietary restrictions, all this craziness. Let us live with one mind fixated on Christ as we are called to serve Him, following in His footsteps. We love you and thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 We'll see you guys. Thank you.